A very special edition of the Capital Golf Gang presented by Golfdom and Worldwide Golf. Just a twosome today. It's like we're going off on Sunday. It's me and John Ronas. It is Thursday night. And the Masters has shut her down for the day on Thursday. Round one not complete, but we got a lot in. And Bryson DeChambeau is your leader. Good evening, Mr. Ronas. How are you?
I'm spectacular, Zabe. How are you? It's good to see that Bryson's three under.
That's right. This was the first time he broke his own par on the course. He had famously said, I think every golfer knows this. I feel like I always have to reset and explain things just to be formatically correct, but I'll do it one more time here anyway. It was when Bryson first made it into the Masters, and he had said, well, you know, this course is like a par 68 for me.
Yeah.
Because he could reach every par five.
Yeah. And then proceeded to shoot 76 every single time.
Right. Played. And since that time, it's been one disaster after another. But he was looking sharp today. And it's going to be interesting amongst friends and golf fans just where you stand on him if he makes it through Friday's round, which is going to be windy and gusty as well, they say, into the weekend, and if he contends. Will there be a lot of people rooting for Bryson DeChambeau, another live guy threatening at Augusta?
Yeah, and in this case, I don't even think it's a live guy. I just think
it's
people don't like him. You know, I mean, it's if Koepka's up close to the lead, even if a Mickelson is close to the lead, I don't think it's the root against because he's a live guy. I think that's kind of almost passed a little bit. But Bryson's rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
Because of just how he is and the things he has said. I mean, the thing about Bryson, which was nuts earlier this year, is he flat out lied about Live Tour ticking all the boxes required to get world golf ranking points. He said, we've satisfied every requirement. And you could literally hold up a list and go, no, that's literally not true. You haven't done this, 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 and this. And yet he must think if he just says it enough or because of his charm he perceives that people will believe it. So that kind of rubs people the wrong way. I, however, John, want to be at least a forgiving guy. And so I want to be at least Bryson neutral going into the weekend. Of the guys I can't stand out there, he's only also receiving votes. He's not near the top. Cantlay, no. Like, that guy can't win in my lifetime. Otherwise, I'm going to lose my mind. But that said, he played a great round of golf today and is atop the leaderboard. But look who is right in his rear view. Scottie Scheffler.
It's amazing.
The tournament favorite. It was amazing to watch with Scheffler, was it not?
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing to watch because the guy is a robot. I mean, it looks so easy. I mean, it looked easy for DeChambeau also.
Right.
But relative to the other guys, boy, did Scheffler, it just looked like he was playing on a 72-degree day, nice calm breeze. It's just, it's incredible. I can't see him giving it up at this point. I really can't.
A robot with happy feet. A robot with a 15 handicap finish at times. That still flummoxes me. And I know we've talked about it on the show and you've talked about it from an instructor standpoint about how it doesn't really matter what he does with his feet after and through impact. I still find myself mesmerized. Like, he has to hit it wilder than he does. How?
No, he doesn't have to hit it wilder because if you analyze his motion through the ball, he keeps the club face so square for so long. It's a little actually what DeChambeau was going for with his kind of natural golf and longer clubs and all that other stuff.
Right.
Because of the way he comes through in the elbow position, it's so long that he keeps the club face square that it's almost hard to hit crazy shots. Now, his body's all over the place, and we'll see how long he can do this for, right? But right now, it's really good.
Yeah. Okay, so we got DeChambeau and Scheffler. And they are both through. By the way, I just clicked on Can you hear that? Clicked on the wonderfulmasters.com website because that's what's driving us right now down the line recording this mini podcast. And it just popped up in autoplay. I had to click on Hogard's name because I wanted to make sure I got the right one. There's two of them. It's Nikolai Hogard. He's got a brother, right? So I'm like, which Hogard is it that is currently in third? He's only through 15. So he's got 16, 17, and 18 to go tomorrow morning mopping things up. I heard a lot of announcers like, oh, these late guys, what a tough deal. They finish late and wake up early and then 27 or more than 18, maybe, you know, 22, 23 holes on Friday. And I'm like, okay, enough. That's called an average guy's golf trip, minus all the drinking and minus the trip to the Gold Club. These guys will be fine. They're going to get a bite to eat at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
They're going to go watch TV for an hour, be in the rack by 10, wake up at 5 after a full 7 hours. They'll be fine.
Yeah, because they're 25 and perfectly fit.
They're athletes, exactly.
20 gallons of water in them every day. I noticed Højgaard on the 14th hole, I think it was, did you notice him hitting any shots? Because he stood behind the ball.
Yeah.
And he walked into a shot like he was playing a high school match at a municipal. He did not almost stop. He was, I would have called him for a balk.
Constant motion.
He just walked into the shot and hit it.
I love it.
Yeah, it was crazy. I don't know if that's some sort of psychology thing that he's working on, but it was crazy. I was like, holy smokes. I had to rewind it actually and look at it.
That is wild. You know, if he ends up in the final group on Sunday, that could work against him because remember how impatient Rory was when he was in the final group and just fell apart getting the worst snap hooks ever because he's a fast player and was even faster when he was younger and he couldn't stand being bottled up at the back. So that's something to watch with Hogard, but he's got three holes left. I believe it'll be calmer in the morning. However, they're calling for winds again. At least they were late in the broadcast on Friday. Then it's going to simmer down by the weekend. So I think one of the larger stories as well is even though the wind was howling out there, these guys are still 6, 4, 5, 6, 7 under.
I know. I don't get it.
Incredible.
I don't get it.
Right.
They're just such great ball strikers that the spin, the side spin that you and I have, just doesn't affect it as much for them. They're just so good.
Yeah. Danny Willett. Hello, Danny Willett. You're alive and you still golf, as I like to say sarcastically. Glad you're up there. The 2016 surprise winner currently through his first round. He's in the clubhouse, birdied 18 to get to 4 under. So he's sitting in good shape. And then Max Homa is making a move. He had to stop play after 13. He birdied 13. He's 4 under himself. And then you have Ryan Fox, this guy, Ronis. Can we talk about this guy for a quick hot second?
Yeah.
He is.
Well, I mean, I didn't know who he was. I said, who is this Ryan Fox guy?
Right.
And he's just a European guy.
He's
a big dude.
New Zealand. And he's a thick fella. There he is. Thank you, Masters.com.
He plays for the European Tour, right?
Right. Yes. He finished T14 in Dubai in January, and the last 4 months of 2013 or 2023, excuse me, he won the DP Tour's flagship event in England and finished runner-up in St. Andrews and T3 at the Irish Open. Made the cut in all four majors last year. That's nuts.
I didn't know who he was.
6'2", 220, and I'm like, yeah, I kind of know that those dimensions, plus a few pounds.
and moves it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's like he's a throwback to when not everybody was a super young, super fine-tuned athlete.
He won't win, though.
No, he will not.
You know what was interesting? It was interesting. Homa birdied his last hole, the 13th hole, but the horn went off, I think, as they were hitting their second shot, or they might have already hit their second shot. Or the third shot, but Tiger decided to finish the hole. And I wonder if Homa would have done that if he wasn't with Tiger. Like, I think he just followed and he made that birdie because he got the two putt, in the rhythm, all the other stuff, rather than coming back in the morning. Green's faster, Green's whatever. So it's interesting. Homa's going to benefit so much from playing with Tiger in these 2 days.
Right. I keep getting this pop-up. I'm very sorry for this. I should go to a different site. Going down the leaderboard, next in with a 69 today, Cam Davis. Know your Cams. There's Cam Young, there's Cam Smith, and there's Cam Davis. Cam Young is the glowering, bearded American who's really good but hasn't won yet anywhere, has never held a checkup. Yep. Cam Smith is Joe Dirt, who looks like your college weed dealer who won the British Open, held off Rory, and then went to the LIV Tour for a lot of money. He's an Aussie, hasn't done much since then. And Cameron Davis is also an Aussie, but he's a much bigger guy, and he's really, really good. So now your Cams are straight, and you've got Cam Davis lurking currently at 3 under par. Then you got Tyrrell Hatton, who's still on the course at 3 under. Corey Connors finished -2. Byung, I want to get this on right. Byung-Hun An is currently 2 under as well. And then we get to the ones, and Rory is at the ones. Thank God for that. Because it's been the first round has tripped him up the last who knows how many years.
Yeah, and he fought today. He did not hit the ball, I don't think, that great. And he fought. So it was good to see him come in, because -1 right now is tied for 17th place. So, you know, we're in the hunt. You had two guys that sprinted out there, but after that, you know, you have fours and fives, and we're all good. We're all good with three strokes back or whatever. I mean, I don't know if Scottie Scheffler can ever be caught, but 1 under is a good score today.
Yeah. Joaquin Niemann with a strong finish, birdieing 16 and 17, finishing 2 under. He was 1 over at one point. Willie Zalatoris had it going. He was 4 under, standing on the tee box at 17, and then gave a shot back on 17 and another one back on 18.
Too bad.
Patrick Reed is 2 under. He's through 14 before play was stopped. Just scanning down for some other names of note. Tony Finau finished 1 under. Aubert is there, 2 under through 11.
Yep.
Through 11. Yep. Cantlay is at 1 under. Fitzpatrick is 1 under. He got it to 4 and then gave a bunch back coming home. Bogey's on 14 as well as 16 and 18 to finish 1 under. Rory, we mentioned, was 1 under. Cam Smith is 1 under. An amateur, scrolling here, Tiger. Now we're on Tiger.
Yep.
One under. Looks pretty darn good. All things
looked
considered.
Very relatively simple. A couple looked actually more simple as he got into the round. But yeah, I mean, when you watch the drives are ending up close to, he's playing with Homa and Shoffley. No, Day, Jason Day.
Right.
His drives are right there with him. You know, it'll be interesting because 13, he kind of poked one pretty far into the right. And there's another hole that he hit one right on. It'll be interesting as he gets late in the round tomorrow, especially because it's going to be a few extra holes, you know, how he moves through the ball and stuff like that. But you know what I noticed, Abe? He is not limping anywhere close to what he was doing before.
No,
so that's really cool to see.
Yeah, it's amazing. What I find, and I shouldn't find anything Tiger Woods does, amazing. Should not be surprised by a single thing. But where, how can he keep his swing in such good shape, so explosive still, with numbers that you go, how is this possible at his age with his repair history? How can he keep it in that shape without being able to hit a lot of balls? I'm assuming
I think he's learned to be much more efficient with his practice, and he is in just incredible. I think he's a maniacal conditioning machine.
So you think he's doing something around his injuries stay in great shape and to work on and rehab his stuff? Because, you know, I saw a thing before the tournament about how he used to say, you know, my tournament week leading up to it, I'd want to have 1,000 contacts with the golf ball a day, 1,000. He said, doesn't mean I'd hit 1,000 full shots. That's nuts. But, you know, maybe 500 shots, 500 chips and or putts. But that was the number, 1,000 contacts a day. And for him, with his back, just, you know, bending over slightly to putt and practice putting. would be a lot, you know, 500 contacts. So that is pretty impressive right there. Some other names of note, Sergio, even par today. Same thing for Justin Thomas. Xander Schauffele got it to 200, but came back and finished at level par. Shane Lowry is still out there at even. Jason Day, Jason Day's pants. I can't believe.
Okay, I had that on my list. What on earth? First of all, they even commented on, the commentators even said, I don't know about the choice of trousers today. You know what's also cool is Van Pelt and Strange, is the broadcast I was listening to, was outstanding.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, they were ridiculous what he was wearing. It was some sort of combination of MC Hammer, you know, meets 1992.
Meets Cirque du Soleil. Somebody dug up an old photo of Tiger when he was first or second year on tour, and he had a similar pair of dress pants that were just billowy as all get out. And I'm like, yeah, that was a style back in the day, and thank God it's now gone. I would say those are bad pants, but they're still better than joggers. So at least
are. But I mean, in the wind, I swear I thought he was going to get taken away like a sail.
I think someone said he had a drawstring on them, but I saw a belt. So I'm not sure if there really was. Now, right, there was a pocket. So question, are those Malbon pants?
They must be.
Well, Malbon, congratulations. You're going to set the record for the fastest apparel company to go out of business in the game of golf, because you are on a rocket sled to nope with those designs. But Jason,
I don't know
Day,
what the pocket was. It could hold literally a tablet.
Yeah, it's crazy. Jason Day, even par, not yet finished. He's through 13. Brian Harman, your British winner last year, he's at even through 12. Koepka, lurking, not doing much. Bogeyed one, and then all pars but one birdie after that. He's level par through 11. I'm not writing Koepka off just yet.
No, but, you know, I said to one of the guys in my shop, Matt Ryan, who's pretty good better, I said, I think I'd pick with the odds and stuff Koepka. He said, no way, he's playing with Harmon. As soon as he found out he's playing with Harmon, he couldn't handle the slow play.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, interesting.
Yeah. Mickelson at one over, he got it to one under through 8, but then couldn't make a move from there and gave one back on 16. He hit it in the water, believe it or not. Hit the bank, hit it in the water on 16. Let's see. John Rahm finished one over. He's through.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
39 on the backside.
Yeah, not good. So, question. He's not out, is he, at one over?
Yep.
He is?
Yep. Yeah.
Where are you drawing the incomplete day one line with
one under?
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Everyone else is out.
No, you cannot.
Mark it. Mark it. No one outside of one under will win this tournament.
Is it because of DeChambeau or Scheffler being at the top?
Scheffler,
not DeChambeau. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, just checking on that. So the one unders, wow, we're already chopping off a bunch of guys. And here's what I'm going to tell you, Ronis. You can't do that. You can't do that because we don't know what it's going to be like in the morning. This course can be a sweet, gentle kitten in the morning with a little bit of dew and moisture and the wind down and the greens fresher than fresh. Look out in the morning, especially for guys in the back nine who just may go ham on some of these reachable par fives. Okay.
Well, I agree, but I'm pulling it up right now, and we're talking about still gusts up to 30 miles an hour tomorrow.
I know, but when tomorrow? If it's not till 9.
I think it's as it's blowing out, so I think it's going to start in the morning, and then it's going to, I think it'll calm down the afternoon.
I mean, look. The forecasters are rarely wrong, except all the time. They didn't expect to get this much golf in on day one, and I'm very much thankful for that because I think the tournament dodged a bullet. Okay, we'll see what it's like in the morning. All right, some other names. Wyndham Clark, he finished one over as well. Bubba Watson, who cares? He's one over through 15. Sahith Theegala, one over through 11, not doing much. Yeah. Dustin Johnson, one over through 9. He bogeyed one, hasn't made a birdie since, all pars. Yeah. Morikawa, what's up with Morikawa's game? He's one over through 10.
He's not tough enough for Augusta.
Okay.
And then
I'm just going to scroll past a whole bunch of names to go find the disasters. First of all, our boy local guy, Denny McCarthy, not a great day. Two over for him. He played his whole round. Spieth. Ugh.
Spieth stinks. I mean, it's a shame. I like Jordan Spieth, but his game, he just hits way too many foul balls.
Yeah.
He's just got no chance.
Did you see his hands and knuckles on the par three contest? They had a close up of him reaching his hand down, and people were putting that hand next to Chubbs in Happy Gilmore and his wooden hand. Because, like, they had big, bruised knuckles. I mean, crazy.
From what?
From just hitting balls?
Yeah.
And he's still hitting
it. I mean, again, what I experienced at the U.S. Open, my God, I don't know how he comes close.
Two over for Spieth through 11. He was three over at one point, but got a tourniquet.
He doubled the first hole.
And you're right. He doubled the first hole. How did he double the first?
I don't know. I just looked at the scorecard and I saw a double.
Okay. Vijay Singh, three over. I only mentioned him because he suggested number 11 needs a new tee to make it longer.
11?
11. And or, I'm sorry, 12. 12. He said 12.
Please.
And Fred Ridley said at his annual State of the Masters Wednesday presser, he said, that's not going to happen as long as I'm sitting here. He said,
good.
That's like saying, can you touch up the Mona Lisa to make it look a little bit more beautiful? Not happening.
Break.
Which I said, okay, but just hear me out on this. This is another hear me out thing. I said, they got a lot of room up that hillside behind the 12 tee. What if they put one extra pedestal back there and just one day of the tournament, Ronis? 195. Huh? Eh? Come on. Sicko.
Well, I'll tell you
why. Sicko Golf, 195. Let's go.
Yeah, it would be cool. But I'll tell you why. It was because the clubs that they're hitting in right now elevate enough to catch those pines. And so you look at the flag, it's barely moving. But when you're hitting a wedge or nine iron or whatever they're hitting in there, it catches that wind, and if they were hitting something lower from 195, it actually wouldn't get caught.
Okay. Well, I'd love to see it just once, but that's just me. I'm a sicko. Other names down here at the bottom that you might be surprised at. Nobody really. Zach Johnson, four over. I'm so delighted by that. Keep going higher, Zach Johnson.
Beautiful.
Your boy, Rick Flower. Rick Flower, four over. Poor guy.
Ricky, I bet on him. Yeah.
Oh, you bet on him, huh? Okay.
No, I didn't.
And then pretty much everybody else you would expect down at the body.
Except for Matsuyama.
Matsuyama's the surprise. Four. He was four over. Really, really got sideways on the back nine. But otherwise, Emmanuel Grillo, Alassabal, Dunlap, Maronk.
Someone like Malnati shooting 10 over, you know, he's just the yellow ball. It shouldn't even be allowed at Augusta. So glad he shot 10 over.
You know what they say, ball don't lie.
Right.
He brought a yellow ball to Augusta and ball don't lie. It
That's
said,
right.
Get that out of here. So there's your quick rundown of the leaderboard. Shall we talk for a quick second about the opening ceremony?
Yeah.
It was epic as always. But it was always something that people lighted it. The guys on my text thread like to chirp about. Number one, Gary Player is incredible. 88 years old, can still compress it quite nicely. However, he is quite the fabulist as he gets older and older. He claims he has broken his age on the golf course over 3,000 times in a row now.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody did the math on that, counting, of course, the times he last competed at the Masters and shot a respectable 78, 81 or something like that, which was not his age, oh, by the way.
Right.
And they're like, why does Gary Player have to lie so badly? What is this deal?
I don't know, but, I mean, that's 3 years. That's 10 years. Of playing virtually every day.
Right. They said he'd have to play every day and a half and never shoot over his age.
Yeah, so come on. It's just not happening.
Not happening.
Half the time, I'm probably sure he doesn't even keep score.
Right.
And he's insane.
Yeah, he's a little bit wacky.
I mean, he's crazy.
Nicholas, it's sad to see that he looked like he was laboring just to stand and just to be out there. But that's the nature of age, obviously. And Tom Watson is still pretty spry. A lot of my friends were chirping, like, why do these guys bring full staff bags out there to the first tee? And I'm like, well, they can, and there's sponsors on them. So,
I mean, it's interesting, but It is tough to watch. It's tough to watch age take over. Nicholas has never aged well, but
I know,
and because he hasn't kept himself in that kind of shape like the other two. But true, it is what it is.
But his spirit and his demeanor and his ability to quip about, you know, how tough it becomes to bend over and put the ball on the ground is at least welcome. And I'm glad to see that. Okay, yeah. How'd the course look to you? Anything from the course that you're like,
Course looked incredible. I mean, they had talked, they were talking a lot during the par three contest about the fact that they had really pushed the, more than they normally push the golf course on a Wednesday, Tuesday and Wednesday, to a very firm and a almost a browning out process because they knew this rain would come in. So they had some room to play with. And let's face it, they can do anything they want out there. It's really easy to add water. So you can control it that way. It's just, and they can do it better than anyone, but it's hard to take the water off the course. So they prepared for it and the golf course firmed up quite nicely again. It looked great.
Number two, I didn't get to see a ton of number two, but it looked like some of the guys were struggling a bit more now with the slightly longer and slightly further left tee box. Tiger did put it down. The left side, he was up against a tree, had to hit the ball lefty with an upside down club, did chip it out to the fairway, made par on that hole. Number three, the short par four, they said that they had softened some of the severity of the fall offs of that dastardly green, and they still had problems with it. A lot of players still couldn't handle that hole. That is the nastiest, trickiest short par four on that course.
Yeah, I mean, and you wonder, obviously they're a lot smarter than we are, but you wonder if it's not better instead of hitting a 60-yard shot in there to be just laying back at 100 or 90 and hitting a complete control shot. But there must be something to that, too, that makes them not do that.
Right. What's cool is that on that hole, and I've watched it in person, there's no discernible strategy. Like, no single best strategy has emerged where everyone's like, okay, here's the best percentage play on this hole. Because some guys do want to challenge those bunkers, those cross bunkers, and drive it up there. Other guys do not. And so it's all just a matter of what you want to do. Number four played hard, even though they had the lower tee in play. It was only 179 yards. That thing goes all the way back to 230. Yeah, the upper right pin placement is nuts. Five was his usual nasty self. Same for six. Didn't see much of seven or eight. Due to the stuff
eight played how eight plays. Most of the guys, not most, a lot of the guys were hitting it in that front right part of the green. There was just a two putt contest from there.
I want to say Haddon holed out for eagle on, or no, birdie on eight. He holed out for birdie on eight from the fairway.
And then nine, you know, nine is at the toughest pin of any of them. It's a back left pin. It's got a shelf right in front of it. So there were some birdies there, but just, most of them would kind of come up a little bit short, and they'd have 25 feet uphill.
Okay, I want to talk nine for a second. That approach is just crazy difficult if you're not all the way down the bottom. And for whatever reason, it might have been the wind, or maybe his tee shot hit a tree. Scheffler was not all the way down on the bottom. He was up on the hillside. He had a bit of a hanging lie. Ball was slightly below his feet. He was standing there for a while trying to get a sense of, you know, he had two clubs resting against his leg and he's trying to feel it, you know, and his caddy's there waiting for him. It's such a tough shot. It's downhill, as you know, and it's a hang and lie. And you got to go back up to an uphill green and there's wind howling.
And a left pin.
Yes. And a left pin.
A fade shot. And if you pull it, you have no green to work with. And if you go over, you're dead.
And he hit just a searing missile of an iron that got all the way back up there, just a couple feet right of the pin, hop, check, ended up just on the fringe. But it was a shot that you go, my God, these guys are aliens.
Good stuff. And also you're hitting from the lower part up into one of the higher points, I think, at that point. 9 and 18 are two of the highest points, those greens. And you never know what that wind is doing up over that hill.
Well, it's howling. If there's any wind, it's howling because it's the most exposed part of the course. It's the high point, and it's wide open up there. Okay. Couple guys got home on 15 and had putts at eagle. Yep. Scheffler was one of them, had a very short putt but missed it. Not very short, but he had a quite makeable 10-footer, maybe missed it barely. Cam Smith had a eagle putt on that hole. He missed that one. Scheffler made birdie from the fuzz around the creek on 13, the par 5.
On 12.
And then 12, he chipped 12, in from
he hit
the bunker.
Over the green.
Yeah, he blasted in from the bunker. Yeah. Which, you know.
Yeah, I mean.
That's what he does.
Right. It's okay. Amazing.
Closing thoughts as we put a wrap on it here for round one and what we're looking at. Is this going to be a Scheffler runaway?
I don't think it's going to be a runaway, but I think it's going to be, I think Scheffler's going to take it. I do believe, again, no one from minus one or further is coming back from this one. But I think you're right, Zabe. It'll be very interesting to see how tomorrow goes. I am very excited about Saturday because I think it's going to be a shootout.
Okay.
And then Sunday is Sunday.
Somebody from around even par who's still got holes to birdie out there is going to make a charge. Somebody's going to put three or four birdies on the board tomorrow morning. That's my prediction there.
I'm cool with that, but if they finish one after one under, they're not making it.
Exit question. Will Jason Day have better pants on Friday?
No, he's going to have the same crud.
All right, buddy. We'll see you tomorrow night. Thanks.
Awesome. See you later.